Hello, friends. This is Doug Batchelor. How about an amazing fact? The world's oldest bird with a wildlife band is prepping to be a mom again at age 63. U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service officials confirmed this week that Alaskan albatross named Wisdom has laid an egg at a nesting site at the Midway Atoll. That's a national wildlife refuge in the North Pacific, about 1,200 miles northwest of Honolulu. It's no small feat. Alaskan albatross are monogamous, and they mate for life. And a breeding albatross only lays one egg per year. No one has an exact figure, but this would be about the 36th chick raised by Wisdom and her mate since Wisdom was banded in 1956. That's before I was born. There, she was estimated to be about 5 years old. Until recently, these long-lived birds were thought to only live about 50 years of age. You know, friends, the Bible says that there are many other miracle births. Stay with us. We're going to learn more as Amazing Facts brings you this edition of Bible Answers Live.
Welcome to Bible Answers Live with author and evangelist Pastor Doug Batchelor. Is understanding God's Word a challenge? Are there passages of Scripture that are a mystery to you? Maybe it's difficult to reconcile what you've read in the Bible to what you've always believed. If you have Bible-related questions, stay tuned to get honest, practical answers straight from the Word of God on Bible Answers Live. Bible Answers Live is a production of Amazing Facts Ministries, dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire world. Our lines are open, so call us now at 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. Now, here's your host, Pastor Doug Batchelor.
Welcome, welcome, friends, to Bible Answers Live. And this is the program where, if you have a Bible question or some question about living the Christian life, we'll do our best to search the Word together and find answers. If you'd like to call in, we have lots of lines open right now. That number is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297. In case you weren't ready, one more time. You ready? 800-463-7297 brings you into the studio with your Bible question. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross. Good evening, friends, and welcome again to our time of study together. Pastor Doug, before we begin, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the opportunity once again to take a few moments to open up the Bible and to study your word together. And Father, we invite the Holy Spirit to come and guide our minds and our hearts and, as we always ask, lead us into a deeper and fuller understanding of Bible truth. For we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pastor Doug, you opened the program by talking about a remarkably old bird that's, 63 years of age.
And, yes, isn't that amazing?
That's amazing for a bird to live that. Well, you know, there are parrots that live close to, 80, 90, but this one just laid another egg.
Yeah, and they say that these birds, these Alaskan albatross, they mate for life, which means her mate. They just didn't ban the mate, so they don't know how old he is, but he's obviously lived a long time too. But 63 is something, and so folks are saying, wow, it's a miracle to have a chick. It shows a picture. If you go online, they've actually got a picture of Wisdom sitting on her egg there at the Midway Atoll. But, when you think about miracle births, there's several in the Bible, and I don't know if our friends have ever thought about it. Of course, this time of year, everyone is remembering the ultimate miracle birth of when a virgin would conceive and bring forth a son, and that's Jesus. But Jesus was really the last miracle birth in the Bible. There are about seven miracle births prior to Christ in Scripture. Let me go through them for you real quick. All three of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, their wives had problems conceiving. They were barren. And then as a result of prayer or a miracle, they conceived and they had children. Sarah, she was, over 90 when she had Isaac. And each one of these miracle children are also a type of Christ. Isaac went up the mountain. He was a willing sacrifice like Jesus. He had the wood on his back as Christ had the cross. Rebekah, Jacob's wife, she couldn't have children. He prayed, and she ended up having the 12, Rebekah did have a miracle birth with Isaac, and she had Jacob and Esau, who had the 12 sons, just like Jesus had the 12 apostles that became the church. He had the 12 tribes that became the nation of Israel. Rachel couldn't get pregnant. She kept badgering Jacob, and as a result, miracle. She got pregnant. She had Joseph, who is a type of Christ. He was betrayed by his brothers, and he forgave them, and he fed them and kept them alive. Then you have Hannah in the Bible, the mother of Samuel. She had a miracle birth. It was a result of prayer. She had Samuel, who became a prophet, a priest, and a judge in Israel. Then it doesn't tell her name, but the wife of Manoah, the mother of Samson. She was barren. An angel appeared. She had this miraculous baby boy who was the strongest man who ever lived. Believe it or not, Samson's a type of Christ too. Last act of his life, he stretches out his arms, sacrifices himself to defeat the enemies of God's people. Then there's a woman called the Shunammite woman. She has a son as a result of answered prayer, and that baby boy dies and is resurrected like Christ. Then, of course, the last is in the New Testament. That's Zechariah and Elizabeth having John the Baptist, who is the forerunner of Christ. So these seven miracle births for all boys, they all sort of are types of Christ in the Bible, but they all lead up to a story you find in Revelation of a dragon trying to devour this miracle baby who's going to be brought forth of this woman. This is Revelation 12. And if you'd like to understand why is the dragon out to get this baby, and who is that other woman in Revelation 17, we have a free offer that explains these prophecies. Just call, and we can send it to you, or I think you can read it for free online.
All you'll have to do is just give us a call on our resource line, which is 800-835-6747. You can ask for our free offer. It's a book entitled The Beast and the Dragon and the Woman, all about this prophecy in Revelation chapter 12. Again, the number is 800-835-6747. And the book tonight that we're offering for free is The Beast, the Dragon, and the Woman. You can also read this book. I believe you can even download a PDF of the book at the Amazing Facts website. So we want to encourage you to take a look at that. I think you'll find it very informative and also important. Some very important truths are dealt with there in Revelation chapter 12. Well, Pastor Doug, I think we're ready to go to the phone lines. Our first caller this evening is Reuben, listening from Pennsylvania. Reuben, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Hi, Reuben, welcome. And your question tonight?
Yes, sir. It's regarding Luke chapter 23, verse 43.
Okay.
And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. I've heard you explain this verse in the past to indicate that the King James translators might have misplaced the comma.
You got to get real close to your phone because we honestly are having trouble hearing you. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. Is this better?
Maybe a little. All right, so go ahead. You're about the King James translation of that verse.
Right. In the past, you said they may have made a mistake and misplaced a comma, that the verse should read, Today, comma, thou shalt be with me in paradise.
Yes.
Well, if the King James translators erred in this verse, is it possible that the entire King James translation is suspect?
I think the King James is among the best translations, but translations are not inspired. The Bible is inspired. So an example would be in the King James Version, when you read in Revelation 20, there's the word abusos. They translate that bottomless pit, but the very same word is in Luke chapter 8, and they translate it the deep. And so, you know, there were several King James translators. It wasn't one person. There was a whole team of people, and some of them had preferences. Now, there was no punctuation in the original Greek. The Holy Word of God is inspired. I can do a translation. Anyone can do a translation. But so it's not the translators that are inspired. It's the writers of the word that are inspired. Does that make sense?
It does. I'm wondering then, can you say that we have an equivalent of the Bible that the early church had today?
Well, I'm not sure what you're asking. What do you mean if we have an equivalent of the Bible?
We have
more than most of the early church didn't have the scriptures as readily accessible as we have them today. So what we have in our Bibles is very few pastors and churches in Bible times had all the scriptures at their fingertips. Now, what I mean by that is to have the collection the way we have them in the Bible is, you know, just such a gift. Back then, they were handwritten scrolls. They didn't have printing presses until, 1500.
Right. Well, the reason I ask is because oftentimes I'm asked, you know, what do I believe? I say I believe the Bible. And if a clever person is asking them, they'll ask, well, which Bible? Which I then reply, I like the King James. And then if they're really clever, they'll say, okay, which King James?
Yeah.
You know, what I like to do is, you know, the question comes up frequently. What we need to recognize is that the languages originally in which the Bible was written, in the Old Testament, of course, is Hebrew with a little bit of Aramaic there in Daniel, and New Testament is Greek. So when it comes to Bible study, what I like to do, and I know Pastor Doug does this as well, if we want to study a passage of Scripture, right now we have so many great resources available where we can actually take a closer look at the original Greek words that were used in that passage, and we can look at how the various translations translate that Greek word. So that gives us the opportunity to really explore what the original language is trying to convey. And I think King James, I agree, New King James does an excellent job, but there's also some other translations out there that have done a good job in translating the original languages. So fortunately, we can go back and really dig a lot deeper just because of the concordances and the various lexicons that's available for us.
You know, when people listening, they might think, well, there's big differences between these Bibles, and so Christians don't really know what they believe. Really, if you take the King James, New King James, New American Standard, you take these translations and line them up, you're going to find they virtually all say identically the same thing. They use slightly different words. You're going to find in all these translations, when it says, don't kill, it's going to say, don't kill. So, I mean, you know, those things, don't commit adultery, that's the same. It's the message
right.
In all the translations. So the messages of the Bible are all the same. It's unique. I mean, it's consistent. But there are sometimes little nuances in words that were chosen. Some are Old English, some are more modern. But, hey, appreciate your call, Reuben.
We've got a book called The Ultimate Resource, and it's all about the Bible. It talks a little bit about the various translations as well. We'll be happy to send that to you. Just give us a call on our resource line, or you can read it for free at the Amazing Facts website. The resource line is 800-835-6747. Ask for the book called The Ultimate Resource, or read it at Amazing Facts website. If you have a Bible question, the number to call is 800-463-7297. That'll get you here to the studio. Again, the number is 800-463-7297. That is our studio line. Next caller is Jim, and he's listening from Ohio. Jim, welcome to the program.
Good evening, gentlemen. I really, really and deeply enjoy your show. And I hope my question doesn't confuse you. A friend of mine that I work with, she's a big believer in gay marriage and, you know, they're not hurting anybody. And she asked me this question, which I discussed with a friend of mine. And the question was, where in the Ten Commandments does it say, thou shall not be gay? Now, my friend at church, and it makes a lot of sense to me, she says, it's spiritual adultery against God. And I was wondering if you could elaborate on that.
Well, yeah, your friend that said that's pretty close. The Ten Commandments, of course, are a summary of God's law. They don't go into all the nuances. You're not going to find the Ten Commandments says don't smoke cigarettes. But there is one that says don't kill, and that would include kill yourself little by little. You know what I mean? So there's principles in the Ten Commandments that cover everything. And in the Seventh Commandment, when it talks about not committing adultery, commandment really encompasses moral purity, which certainly covers homosexuality. And if you read, you know, a little later in the laws of Moses, he's extremely clear that a man should not lie with a man as with a woman, and a woman shouldn't lie with a woman. And he speaks in the just strongest language in the Bible that this is a moral perversion. And I know it's totally politically incorrect to say that these days, but, you know, the Bible doesn't change. That's what God says about it.
Yeah, and the other, and I hope I have this right, I believe it's in Romans chapter 1 that talks about how God gave them over to a probate mind, and they worship one another.
Yeah, it's kind of self-worship.
Wouldn't the commandment that says, thou shalt not worship any other gods but me, that would Would that fall into that, or am I reading into that a little bit too much?
You know, I'd not thought of it that way, but now that you mention it, it would encompass that. Yeah, in Romans 1, it just tells about them worshiping the creature instead of the creator. In other words, they're worshiping themselves. It's all about me and my pleasure and my happiness and my desires, as opposed to what does God's word say? And a Christian surrenders his desires to what does the word of God say? So,
amen.
Yeah, the gay movement is all about just everyone doing what feels right in their own eyes, and it's not what the Bible teaches.
This is a pretty good friend of mine, but she likes to try to get me to debate with her. And I'm all for sharing. You know, I believe we're all apostles and we're all to minister to each other. But I think you get to a point sometimes when people want to debate. And my last answer to her when she kind of wanted to get into it kind of deep, I said, listen, the bottom line is, you know, the truth is the truth, whether you accept it or not, or whether you believe it, you know, because she's like in the middle. She believes in the spirit or spiritual power, but she doesn't necessarily want to turn her mind and her life over to God. But,
right.
You know, I told her, I said, the bottom line is the truth is the truth, and what's going to happen is going to happen. You know, all knees will bow.
You know what I would recommend you do, Jim, is when you get a chance, talk to your friend. You might even print it off the computer or something and just take her the verses and say, here's my problem, is I believe the Bible. I'm a Christian, and this is what the Bible says about it. Read it for yourself, and you tell me, what would you do? And so if people believe that the word of the Lord is true, and if they don't, then arguing with them won't get you anywhere. It's just you're coming from two different worldviews. But hey, we thank you very much for your call, Jim. Don't really have a book specifically on that. We do have one on the Ten Commandments. You can read for free at the website, and that's amazingfacts.org.
And I believe we also have a study guide called Written in Stone. It's also about the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Our next caller is Diane, and she's listening from New York. Diane, welcome to the program.
Good evening. I'm just having a problem with people talking about what you should eat and about that you shouldn't be eating pork. And I can't remember the verse that I was reading where I thought God said we could eat anything. Everything was okay to eat.
Well, you're probably thinking about the passage in Leviticus chapter 11,
okay,
when God says, and the pork or the pig, the swine, though it has a cloven hoof, it doesn't chew the cud, he is unclean to you.
Mm-hmm.
Of their flesh you shall not eat, their carcass you will not touch, they are unclean. Now, the scripture you're talking about in the New Testament that says everything is clean for you is talking about whether things sacrificed to idols could be eaten or not. It's not saying that a person can eat anything. Are you a parent, or have you been a parent?
I am a parent, yes.
When your children were young, did you care what they ate?
Oh, yes.
And you knew that what they ate, you wouldn't let them just say, you know, I'm going to pray over my banana split ice cream sundae before school today, and that's what I'm eating for breakfast. I'm just going to eat ice cream for breakfast. You'd say, no, that's not good. But he said, I'll pray over it. So you would know that, no, there's a cause and effect. You cannot mock God. And so the idea that whatever we eat doesn't have an effect on our health is not biblical. Now, even though it's very popular, one of the foods that is forbidden in several religions is pork, including Christianity, Judaism, Islam, because pigs are basically garbage cans.
Right.
And that's why they say that if you're going to eat pork, you have to cook it really good because you get trichina larvae, and pig is also full of sodium and fat, and just they're scavengers. God never intended for us to eat pigs any more than dogs or cockroaches or anything else, or buzzards or skunks. So even though it's popular and people might say it tastes good, it is really not good for people. And the Bible forbids it. So, yeah, those verses are still there. I don't know if we have a lesson that deals with that. We can send you a free copy, or you can read it for free online, Diane. And
well, I'm not so good with my computer. That's why I was waiting for you.
We'll give you a free copy.
Could you send it for me, please?
Yeah, we're going to give you a number. You just got to call this other number. They'll take your address and send it to you. No charge, no obligation. You won't get a bill or anything. Just a gift.
Okay. I appreciate it because I don't want to argue with anybody about things. You know, people want to say, well, you shouldn't be doing that. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't be eating that. So I needed to know that for myself.
Well, you just read the verses in the Bible, and you read this lesson, it'll be really clear. It's called God's Free Health Plan. And the lesson is free. Pastor Ross will give you the number.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. Again, 800-835-6747. And you can ask for the study guide called God's Free Health Plan. We'll be happy to send that to you, Diane, or anyone who calls and asks for it. You can also read it for free online at Amazing Facts. And friends, if you have a Bible question, the number to call here to the studio this evening is 800-463-7297. We have a few lines open. This is a good time to give us a call, 800-463-7297. We'd love to hear from you this evening.
Thank you, Diane.
We have David listening from Leesburg, Florida. David, welcome to the program.
Well, good evening. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Likewise. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I just had a question for you guys here with my wife and Psalms 37 verses 29. It's a scripture that's bothered me from my younger days, and I just needed kind of some help putting it in context.
Is that where it says the righteous will inherit the land and dwell therein forever?
Yes, sir. The religion that I was a part of before always thought that that majority of us was going to live on earth forever, as opposed to just 144,000 going to heaven, with that number being the definite going to heaven. So with that scripture, I was born and raised and taught to think that everybody was going to live on earth in a paradise condition in the way that it normally was. So I just kind of wonder if you could help me to kind of put it in context or to just help me get past my hang-up with that.
All right, do you have a Bible in front of you?
No, sir, I do not.
Well, let me read it for you. If you, in the same psalm, Psalm 37, if you go to verse 9, it says, "For evildoers will be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they will inherit the earth." Now, do you remember where Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, they will inherit the earth." And God says he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. Now, when the Lord comes, we're caught up. We meet him in the air. We go to be with him in heaven in the mansions he's prepared. We live and reign with him for 1,000 years. And then Revelation 20 says, after the 1,000 years, the new Jerusalem comes down and all the redeemed come down. And there's this final judgment and battle. And then God creates a new heaven and a new earth, and we will ultimately live on an earth made new. And this will be heaven at that point. So the paradise, the heaven of God, is going to be, he's going to complete his plan he had for Adam and Eve. Bible says the lion will lay down with the lamb, the wolf and the ox will feed together, a little child will lead them. We will plant houses. We'll build houses and inhabit them, we'll plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. So ultimately, heaven will be down here on earth.
Right. And see, that's kind of what I had, you know, prophesied to the people that I was speaking to also, is I was wondering, but I guess my thought was, is it this physical earth?
Or yeah, is it, well, it's a recreated, it is this earth, but he's going to recreate it. And,
right, be in the paradise condition it was originally made, right?
Yeah, or even better, God will probably upgrade things. You know, okay. We have a lesson that has all the verses on this, and if you like, we'll be happy to send you a free copy of that.
That would be fantastic.
Yes, just call and ask for the study guide called A Colossal City in Space. It talks about heaven. It also talks about the new earth. We'll be happy to send it to anyone who calls and asks. The number to call is 800-835-6747. You can ask for the study guide called A Colossal City in Space. We also have another study guide that goes along with that one called 1,000 Years of Peace. It talks about that 1,000-year period.
Yep.
Revelation chapter 20. Our next call
Thank
is
you, David.
Barry, and he's listening from Montana. Barry, welcome to the program.
Hello, thank you for taking my call. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for calling.
I have a friend, Amy, who recently became friends with. I admire her very much, and she is very much a believer in Jesus Christ and trying to encourage me to listen to your station. And I'm of a different religion, but not even into my own religion. And I just wondered if you have any words of wisdom to inspire me regarding the Bible.
You know, we're getting ready at Amazing Facts. We're going to do a DVD this coming year because we were amazed at how many prophecies in the Bible that we know were written before the fact literally came true. Jesus was born 2,000 years ago, but there are prophecies in the Bible written 1,000 years before he was born. You know, we know David lived and the Psalms were written 1,000 years before he was born. We know that they were written in the Dead Sea Scrolls, and they foretell the town Jesus would be born in, Bethlehem. They foretell that he would be betrayed by a friend, Judas, that he would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, that when he died, his hands and his feet would be pierced, even though crucifixion was not practiced when David wrote that, that they would gamble for his clothing, and help me, Pastor Ross, that what they would do with the money, that they would buy a potter's field with the money that he was betrayed with.
Sour wine on the cross, at least try to get him to drink it to deaden the pain. That was prophesied.
Yeah, and these are just a few prophecies about Christ and his life and ministry, that he would heal the sick and open the eyes of the blind. And all this was foretold in a number of the Psalms of David about the Messiah before he came. And then you can read in Isaiah 53, where it talks about that he was wounded for our transgressions, and that when he goes to trial, he would not open his mouth to defend himself.
And of course, not only that, but the Bible even tells us in the book of Daniel when Christ would be baptized and when Christ would be crucified. Just remarkable time prophecies in Scripture.
Yeah, and you could count that back because we knew he'd begin ministry at 30 until when he would be born.
Mm-hmm.
So, Barry, I used to be an atheist. I don't know if I mentioned it every now and then. I think that everyone just automatically knows that, so it probably helps repeat it. I had thought the Bible and anyone who believed it was absolute foolish. It was foolishness. It was fables. But when I finally started reading it for myself, I was thunderstruck, mystified, flabbergasted. Where had I been that I had not known that such a supernatural book existed? That was written over a period of 1,500 years by about 40 different authors, for everything from kings and priests to shepherds and farmers, and yet everything they wrote is in perfect agreement. So, yeah, I'd recommend that take a look at the Bible, and when you read it for yourself, you'll find out it is not written by ordinary people, but holy men, moved by the Holy Spirit, wrote these words that they really do transform people's lives. Friends, you're listening to Bible Answers Live.
You know, Pastor, we do have a book that also talks about the Bible called The Ultimate Resource, and anyone can read that for free online at the Amazing Facts website. And talking about the Amazing Facts website, we like to remind all of our listening friends of this great resource that we have online, just amazingfacts.com.
Yeah, absolutely. And this time of year, if you go there right now, you're going to see that there's a special appeal talking about a project that Amazing Facts has. In case you don't know, we do this program Sunday night. This represents a fraction of what Amazing Facts has done, and we are entering the 50th year in 2015, 50th year since the inception of Amazing Facts. And if you've been blessed by the program, then hey, we certainly need your help. We're entirely self-supporting. You can just go to the website, find out about some of these evangelism missionary projects. We got missionary schools around the world, television programs, witnessing material. You can donate right there and just show your appreciation. We'd be very grateful. We're going to take a brief break and come back with more Bible questions.
Bible Answers Live will return in just a moment. If you're looking for Bible-based materials for further study, sign up for Amazing Facts' free Correspondence Bible Study course, or check out our sale catalog featuring hundreds of inspiring books and tapes. To order, call our resource line at 800-835-6747. That's 800-835-6747. Amazing Facts is a faith-based, listener-supported ministry, operating exclusively through the generosity of your prayers and financial gifts. We would love to hear from you. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California 95678, or online at amazingfacts.org. You're listening to Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. If you have a Bible-related question, call us now to receive clear, honest answers directly from Scripture. We have a few lines open, so please give us a call. The phone number to the studio is 800-GOD-SAYS. That's 800-463-7297.
If you've enjoyed Bible Answers Live, you'll love Pastor Doug's Book of Bible Answers. Straight from the broadcast, the very best questions and answers have been compiled as an awesome resource for Bible study and personal evangelism. Each answer has been expanded with more Bible verses and insightful commentary. The Book of Bible Answers can be yours today for just $12. Call now 1-800-835-6747 and request offer 257. That's 1-800-835-6747.
Welcome back, listening friends, to Bible Answers Live. And if you're standing by with a Bible question, please stay on the line. We're going to get to you in just a moment. Take more calls. Do have a couple lines open. One more time, number 800-GOD-SAYS. 800-463-7297 will bring your Bible question into the studio here in Sacramento. And we're going around the world. My name is Doug Batchelor.
My name is John Ross, and we have Charlie listening on, listening in Arkansas. Charlie, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you. I'd like to preface my question by saying I've been married twice. Unfortunately, they both ended in a divorce. And I was curious. I'd like to get married again, but I was wanting to do it, before God, in the eyes of God, with a preacher, and say my vows, but I did not want to record it with the state. And I was just wondering what your thoughts would be on that.
Why would you not want to record it with the state? In other words, why would you not want it to be a legally recorded marriage?
Ah, okay. Now, does that take precedence over the covenant of marriage? Because when I went through the divorces, they didn't care about anything scriptural, spiritual about the marriage.
Right. Now, we had two different kind of questions here. One is you're asking actually about the marriage license and legality of a marriage.
Right.
Not, and the other question might be about, are you free to remarry? When you went through your former marriages and divorces, were you a practicing Christian?
I was, yes.
Do you, there's only a couple reasons given where you have biblical grounds for divorce and remarriage.
I understand that, yes.
Do you believe that you have biblical grounds?
On the first one, yes. On the second one, it was her implementing the divorce.
All right, well, maybe on that part of it, then you probably ought to have a local pastor wherever you attend church counsel you on that. On the other question, on marriage, does it need to be registered by the state? I always want to know why wouldn't a person want it to be legal? Because if a person asks you if you are legally married, you want to be able to say yes as a Christian. Because if you're not legally married, the only other option is you're illegally married. And why you wouldn't want to have it registered. And I know that the state gets involved in divorces, and that may have left you a little sour to the idea. But if you get married again, you don't even want to think divorce is an option, do you?
No. Divorce happened whether it was, recorded with the state or not, anyway.
Right. But why would you not want to have a marriage that is registered with the justice of the peace or the court?
Because I don't want the state having control over, a biblical, spiritual covenant issue that they have, either an atheist or secularist or agnostic, that doesn't care a bit about the spiritual aspect of the marriage.
Well, with the reason that the state, first of all, when you get married, marriage is not just a personal decision. Marriage is a social decision. What I mean by that, it's a community thing. When people get married, they do it publicly because they're telling everybody in the community, we have made a covenant before God and even before the government that we are committing ourselves. Now, the reason governments used to get involved in marriage is because if there was an issue and there were children involved, sometimes the government needed to decide who gets the children, who gets the estate if the parents should die, and if you are or are not legally married, it makes a big difference. So there are reasons, well, believe it or not, where the state overlapping into marriage does make sense.
I understand that, but I think, well, you know, personally, I believe the church there has relegated its, you know, authority in that area to the government.
Yeah, and we shouldn't do that. You know, ultimately, the first marriages were where you had, you know, God gave Eve to Adam and said, I declare you man and wife. I mean, that was pretty simple.
But he was also the state at that time.
That's right. He was everything. So, but yeah, whenever I talk to young couples, they say, well, I know we're not legally married, but we believe we're married in God's eyes. And that's usually kind of a cop-out for something else. So,
you know, we do have a book that deals with the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and we'll be happy to send that to Charlie or anyone wanting to learn more about this. The number to call is 800-835-6747. That is our resource line, and you can ask for the book called Marriage, Divorce, and Remarriage. We'll be happy to send that to you. 800-835-6747, that is the resource line. And the phone line here to the studio, if you have a Bible question, is 800-463-7297. Next call is Manuel, listening from Los Angeles. Manuel, welcome to the program.
Oh, hello.
Hi, how are
you doing?
Air.
Hey, Pastors Ross and Bachelor, thank you very much for taking my call. God bless your ministry.
Yeah, get real close to your phone.
Oh, hello? Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you. You sound like you're in Los Angeles or something. But anyway, your question tonight?
Yes, my question had to deal with the terms like everlasting ordinance and perpetual statute that are used in the Old Testament. For example, like for the Passover in Exodus 12:14, it uses the term everlasting ordinance.
Yeah.
And then also like another time that.
Well, can I start with that first one?
Oh yeah, sure.
And then if you find the other one, we'll talk about that. When the Lord talks about the Passover being an everlasting ordinance, of course that would be, first of all, as long as they lasted as a nation, but technically the ordinance of Passover is still practiced by Christians, but it went through a modification. Jesus is now the Lamb, and he told us, you know, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, it was a Passover dinner. And he said, you know, this is my blood, and then the bread, he said, this is my body. The grape juice was a symbol for his blood, and Christ himself was the Lamb. So really, whenever a church celebrates the Lord's Supper or communion service, it is a fulfilled version of what happened during the Passover. That angel of judgment passes over because we apply the blood of the Lamb to our lives.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think we also need to recognize that, for example, just the Passover, there are elements in the Passover that met their fulfillment in Christ. Today, it wouldn't be wise to sacrifice a lamb or to journey to Jerusalem for the Passover. I think as Christians, we clearly recognize that these various symbols were fulfilled in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And Paul says Christ is our Passover.
Right.
Right. Right, like, I mean, one part of the Passover says, right, that you shall break no bone of the sacrifice.
Yeah, and that's right. In Exodus where it talks about the sacrifice lamb.
Right, right.
And obviously we don't do that. We don't sacrifice lambs because it's sort of going backwards now if the whole Passover service pointed to Christ.
Right,
and to now keep it the old way would sort of be a denial of God's lamb.
Oh, okay. Okay, right.
And most of the feast days also pointed to Christ in some way.
Okay, okay. If I could just say, I found the verse here. Leviticus 17 talks about, it says, you shall eat neither fat nor blood, and it refers to it as a perpetual statute.
Yeah, and that's true.
Generation. Yeah, and then also, like, Leviticus 10:8 says, do not drink wine or intoxicating drink, and it's talking about the conduct of priests so that they can distinguish between holy and unholy and clean and unclean, and it calls it a forever statute.
Uh-huh.
So when I see those, like, forever statute or perpetual statute, I guess I just wonder what how that applies, you know, today.
Well, I don't eat blood, and I don't eat fat, and I don't drink wine. So I think they're a good idea right now. By the way, you also find that not only in the Old Testament, but if you look in Acts chapter 15, verse 20, the early church wrote through Paul and I think it was Barnabas to go and tell the disciples that that they abstain from fornication, from things strangled in blood. And so those laws, those Levitical laws that they not eat blood and fat, they were not just Old Testament. They're clearly repeated in the New Testament. And
right.
If we're going to be God's messengers, you know, alcohol is obviously addicting. And
right.
It's a drug that destroys many lives. Christians should not drink alcohol. I still think that those things are good practice for a Christian.
Right.
Okay. So, hey, we do have, Manuel, you would enjoy that lesson that we offered earlier, talking about God's health plan. It goes through some of these principles as well.
You can read it online at the Amazing Facts website, or you can call our resource line, 800-835-6747, and you ask for the study guide, God's Free Health Plan. We have Robert, who is listening in Arkansas. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir. And your question tonight?
I heard a few minutes ago, one of y'all said something about Daniel in the book of Daniel.
Yeah.
There's a, it talks about Christ's baptism and his crucifixion. And I was wanting to ask if y'all could elaborate on that or...
Yeah, we'll give you a summarized version. I think Pastor Ross was teaching on that this weekend.
Yeah, there's a fascinating prophecy, and you find it in Daniel chapter 9, where there is a decree sent forth by Artaxerxes. The Israelites were captives in Babylon at the time, and that began a 70-week or 490-year time prophecy. And we know that decree went into effect in 457 B.C., before Christ. And then there's some details given with reference to that 70-week or 490-year time prophecy, and it says the first 69 weeks or 483 years from the starting point will bring you to the anointing of Christ or the Messiah,
holy.
The Most Holy. And we recognize that Christ's baptism, he was anointed with the Holy Spirit in a special sense and then began his public ministry. And then it says 3.5 years after that, he will bring an end to sacrifices and offerings. And when Christ died on the cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom. So these are remarkable prophecies in Daniel 9. They're very deep. I'm just sort of giving you a quick overview, but it's a fascinating study. We actually have a study guide on that.
Yep. If you'd like, we'll send you a free copy, Robert, and it just goes into this whole subject Pastor Ross was talking about. You read it, it'll be clear. And it's called Right on Time. It's Amazing Facts Bible Study Illustrated, beautiful color pictures, and it explains this whole prophecy in Daniel chapter 8 and 9.
You can read that online at Amazing Facts or call and ask for it. It's called Right on Time, and the number to call is 800-835-6747, and we'll be happy to send that to you or anyone who calls and asks for it. Our phone line here to the studio again is 800-463-7297 with your Bible question. Again, 800-463-7297. We'd love to hear from you this evening. Our next caller is Tony, and he's listening from New York. Tony, welcome to the program.
Hello, yes.
Evening.
My question is, hello?
Yeah, you're on the air.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Oh, thank you. Anyway, my question is, I just started reading the Bible, and I'm skipping around, and a friend of mine, upstate New York, invited me to their church, and there was a woman pastor there, right?
Uh-huh.
And I went to church, and she was on the pulpit, and she was a pastor of the church. And everything went well. And when I came home, I started reading. When I got into this book of Corinthians, and I was reading something that says women are supposed to be quiet in church, not talking, or especially not being a pastor, and it's saying they're not supposed to open their mouth in church. They're supposed to ask their husbands when they get home about anything. And I'm wondering, how could this woman possibly... So when I went back upstate, I asked this pastor, and she came up with some law. She said something about the law. The new law says we can be a pastor. How could this be? The Bible doesn't change, does it? This is what I don't understand. How could the Bible changed and say, now you can be a pastor, women.
Yeah. Tony, you're in good company. There are a lot of Christians in the world, in North America, that are a little troubled by some of the cultural trends where people are reinterpreting the Bible through special glasses where they say, well, it doesn't really matter. If you really believe the Bible, the roles of men and women are to be complementary, but they're very different. And it's very clear that reading Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, God did use women to share the gospel and do many wonderful things, but women never served in the capacity of pastor, priest, or apostle. And, okay. And so you have no example of it anywhere, and it's very clear from the writings of the Bible, those offices were reserved for men. So I know that you're going to see churches, I won't name what denominations, but several denominations have sort of caved in on this, giving in to cultural pressure. And you got to understand, Tony, we're living in a culture where they don't know the difference between men marrying men and women marrying women.
Right.
So why would it surprise us if they're confused about whether a man or a woman should be a pastor? I mean, it's just the lines that distinguish the genders are being blurred. And, you know, we have a free book that we'll send you a copy of, and it's very easy to understand. It's got the scriptures in it. I wrote it, and it's called God's Role for Women in Ministry. You can read it for free at our website for anyone that wants to read that. It's God's Role for Women in Ministry at amazingfacts.org. Or, Tony, we'll be happy to send you a copy. Go ahead and read it, and then you might share it with your friend.
The number to call is 800-835-6747. That is the resource line. And just give them a call and say, I'd like to get that book, God's Role for Woman in Ministry. We'll be happy to send that to anyone who calls and asks. Thanks for your call, Tony. Our next caller is Carl, and he's listening from Texas. Carl, welcome to the program.
Hi, Carl. You're on the air. Carl from Texas listening on satellite radio. Carl, you there?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
I can now. Hey, welcome.
Okay,
your question.
Good. Yes, sir. I'm a born-again believer, and I know that the Bible says that once a man is born again, a new creation, that God can't, you know, no one can take you out of God's hand. And I heard you mention about the thousand-year millennial reign earlier.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of curious. It just popped in my head, I guess. But and you said 1,000 years of peace. Excuse me.
Yeah.
So is there, I mean, I'm just curious, why is there going to be a new, if we're in heaven already, why would we need a new heaven, need a new earth, a new heaven? And, you know, is there a chance that the 1,000 years of peace is going to end? Is that sure that, I mean, I don't understand that you could lose your salvation or,
no,
or
not
have
during,
a different, because we're judged as soon as we die, correct?
Yeah, during the 1,000 years of salvation, nobody's going to lose their salvation. Matter of fact, when Christ comes, which is the beginning of the 1,000 years, it tells us in Revelation 20, the resurrection of the righteous is the beginning of that 1,000-year period. It's when Satan is bound. The saved are saved at that point. The lost are lost. Christ says, I think in Revelation, what is it, 22, he that is just, let him be just still. He that is filthy, let him be filthy still. But it's sort of like after we're saved, the Lord is taking us to his very presence in heaven in glory for 1,000 years of R&R. But God doesn't want us just to kind of float around on clouds and ask questions. He made man to have productive lives. And then at the end of the 1,000 years, we're going to come down to this paradise that he's going to create. And we'll live here on this planet through eternity. I think we'll be able to travel to other planets. I think that we'll be very busy.
You know what's interesting about that, Pastor Deck? This little planet out of God's vast creation is the one that you know, brought rebellion and so much sorrow and suffering into God's creation, and yet redeemed and cleansed, it's going to sort of become the center of the universe, sort of the capital where God's dwelling is going to be amongst his people. It's a remarkable thought that our little planet will actually be exalted to be the new heaven in the universe.
That's right. So, yeah, you're on the right track, Carl. Can a person that is saved, can they lose their salvation in this life? Well, the Bible tells us that God will never let go of you, but we don't lose our freedom in this life. But once the 1,000 years begin, the saved are saved, and the lost are lost, and there's no changing teams. And we'll be happy to send you that study guide on the 1,000 years. We'll send it to you free, or you can read it at the Amazing Facts website.
The number to call is 800-835-6747, and the study guide is entitled 1,000 Years of Peace, all about that millennial period that you read about in Revelation chapter 20. Our next caller is Victorine, listening from Queens, New York. Victorine, welcome to the program.
Thank you for taking my call, Pastor.
Yes.
Is it ever okay to rebuke an elder?
Well, you want to do something like that very carefully.
If the elder has done something wrong and is...
Now, is the elder the pastor of the church, or are they just one of the leaders?
One of the leaders, one of the elders.
First thing I do, and Pastor Ross might chime in here, but I would think one of the first things you'd do is go sit down to that. Well, first of all, talk to them alone. Jesus said, if you have a personal problem, Matthew 18 says, go to that person alone. If they're misrepresenting their office, you need to probably go with someone else. Talk to the pastor and say, you know, we really think you should talk to the elder. They're not fulfilling their role, or they're doing something that's, you know, bringing disgrace upon the cause of Christ, because they've got this office, important position, and yet they're misrepresenting the doctrine. So what do you think, Pastor Ross?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if there is a concern, follow the biblical guidelines of talking to the person, and then if they refuse to hear you, then the next step is to bring somebody along. And in this case, you want to involve somebody in the church who is in a position of leadership, so that they could be there to provide guidance. And in the whole, as you move forward in this and everything you do, you want to be redemptive in the way that you approach mm-hmm. things.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Victorine. Hey, thank you for your call. We'll pray that goes well for you.
We have Larry is listening from Columbus, Montana. Larry, welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. My question is about the Noah and the flood.
Uh-huh.
The Bible says that the water covered all the land, covered the earth, you know?
Yes.
Did that cover the tallest mountains also then?
Well, there's actually verse, Pastor Ross might look it up, but I think the Bible verses there say specifically that all the hills were covered. Now, keep in mind, during the flood, the hills were not as tall as they are now. After the flood, there was a period when the world was drying up and waters were rushing down. It's probably when the Grand Canyon was formed and the tectonic plates of the world were moving and shifting, kind of sliding on this envelope of water. And just great mountains were pushed up. There's a lot of volcanic and seismic activity. And so I think that some of the great hills actually were formed shortly after the flood during the convulsion that happened to the planet.
The verse you're referring to is Genesis chapter 7, verse 19, where it speaks about the hills covered with water.
Yeah, so... Yeah. If we believe the Bible as it says, you know, the hills probably were a little more rolling and gentle back then, and everything, they were all covered, but then there was a lot of seismic volcanic activity after the flood. And
well, you know, even in the tops of high mountains, they found fossilized shells.
Yeah.
So at one point or another, there was water covering those mountains.
I know people that have taken pictures that have been on Everest expeditions, and here you are at 20,000 feet, and they've got big oyster shells, and same thing in the Andes. Yes. So there's no question that those mountains used to be a lot lower, or at least the water a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something that's changed. Oh, I don't know how much time we have left. We got 1 minute. All right, listening friend, you know, if we didn't get your call tonight, we don't want to be rude and take a call and cut you off. You can, of course, get a lot of questions by going to the Amazing Facts website and listen to some of the archives. We cover a lot of these questions. Apologize. Give us another chance. God willing, we'll be back next week. We hope and pray that you have a very happy holiday and a Merry Christmas. And keep in mind, please, Amazing Facts is an entirely listener-supported program. If you are blessed by listening to Bible Answers Live, some have been listening for years, if you're edified, even if you know that we're reaching others that are learning the truth and accepting Christ, you know, the Bible says the truth will set you free. And when you support this program, you are freeing souls, and many people have been saved because they began studying the Bible after listening to Bible Answers Live. You can go to the Amazing Facts website. If you've not been there before, it's so easy. Just type in Amazing Facts. Type it into Yahoo, Google, any of those search engines. We have a special video that we're showing there at our homepage, and has a lot more information. It'll tell you about a new project that we have coming up, developing a DVD that will strengthen people's faith in the Bible, going through the 50 most popular prophecies in the Bible that prove the scriptures are real. Well, listening friends, God bless you, and we look forward to hearing from you again. God willing, we'll study His Word together again next week.
This has been a pre-recorded broadcast of Bible Answers Live, a production of Amazing Facts Ministries. If you would like to order the materials mentioned on this broadcast, call 800-835-6747 from 8 a.m. to midnight Eastern Standard Time. That's 800-835-6747. If you've missed an episode of Bible Answers Live, you can find it on our website, amazingfacts.org. You'll also find our online sale catalog of books, tapes, and other materials, as well as numerous free resources on nearly every Bible topic, putting the answers to your Bible questions right at your fingertips. If you've been blessed by this program, let us know. Write to us at P.O. Box 909, Roseville, California, 95678. Be sure to tell others about the program and join us again next time for more Bible Answers Live with Pastor Doug Batchelor. Hello, friends. We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Bible Answers Live. Amazing Facts believes strongly in the Great Commission given by Christ to share the wonderful news of salvation to the entire world. For over 45 years, Amazing Facts has provided millions of resources to people around the globe. We've built churches in India, held revivals in Colombia, and have given over 2 million free Bible studies in the United States alone. The offer mentioned in the program today will be sent to you absolutely free to assist you in your study of the Bible. Have you missed an episode? Well, visit our website at amazingfacts.org for the latest programs and past episodes. These programs are brought to you by caring individuals like you. They're known as our ministry partners. Please consider joining our ministry partners team. Your financial commitment will help us keep programs like this on the air so that the blessing you now receive can be shared with others. Friends, the most amazing fact of all is that God loves us, He cares for us, and He has a plan for your life. If you've missed any of our programs and would like to become a financial partner, please go to our website at amazingfacts.org. If this program has blessed you, then tell a friend. And thanks for joining our efforts today in sharing the gospel with the world.
Amazing Facts, through your faithful support, has had a major impact on some of the largest non-Christian locations in the world. Beyond the Great Wall, the printing and translation of our books and video materials are in constant motion.
在地球还没有被造之前，天上就有了战争。
The Amazing Facts Chinese language website is now one of our most visited websites. We also translated thousands of pieces of literature for these nations. What started out as hundreds of followers is now in the hundreds of thousands. The impact of your funds invested in sharing the everlasting gospel in these foreign lands will be felt for years to come.
You know, every week we hear the most incredible stories from all over the globe of lives that are being changed and hearts that are being transformed by the power of the Word. And none of it could happen without your teamwork with this ministry. God bless you.
Deep within the pages of the Bible, stories of great heroes, heroes of great deeds, great love, and great sacrifice. But behind them is another hero, hidden in plain sight amid the shadows. He was there from the beginning. And He'll be there until the end. Discover the golden thread of a Savior woven throughout the entire Bible tapestry. Shadows of Light. Seeing Jesus in all the Bible. A new book by Doug Batchelor. Get your copy today by calling 800-538-7275 or visit afbookstore.com. Once again, to purchase your copy of Shadows of Light, call 800-538-7275.